Adventures with Words is brought to you by Audible. Try Audible free for 30 days and download any audiobook for free. For your free trial, go to www.adventureswithwords.com/audible.
Hello and welcome to Adventures with Words, where we explore storytelling in all its forms. I'm Rob.
I'm Kate.
And last week, Hilary Mantel won the 2012 Man Booker Prize for Bring Up the Bodies, her sequel to Walpole. So, Kate, is that what you expected to win?
I'm not completely surprised. I'm quite pleased. It's certainly an interesting win. Obviously, she won a couple of years ago for Wolf Hall, mm-hmm. which was the first part in this three book sequence trilogy, whatever you want to call it. So this is, I think it's the first time an English author has won twice. Certainly it's the first time where the first and second parts of a trilogy have both won the Booker. So that's quite interesting. And a while ago when the long list was announced, Rob and I read the kind of Kindle samples of all the long listed books to get a flavour of what they were like. And Bring Up the Bodies was one of my favourites. Mm. Was that your first choice, or would you have perhaps preferred one of the other shortlisted novels to have won?
Well, I had a feeling it was between her and Will Self, to be honest.
For Umbrella.
For Umbrella, yeah. I thought she's obviously won it before, she's got the track record. And as much as I didn't really like Umbrella, I thought it was doing enough new and interesting things to probably, you know, get it a place.
Very innovative, very challenging. I personally really disliked the experience of reading it, but you know, I certainly it was very clever and very effective, just not in a particularly pleasant way. I felt, but I don't know, I think I would perhaps have rather that the Garden of Evening Mists had won. The shortlist, as it turned out, we'd not picked too badly from our original ideas of what might go onto the shortlist. We certainly sort of thought that Mantel would be there. We thought that Will Self would be on there. The Garden of Evening Mists, which I think was probably sort of our collective favourite from the long list, was there. And then there was also Swimming Home by Deborah Levy, The Lighthouse by Alison Moore, which was the one that we weren't able to read because that hadn't been released
that
at the time.
That would have been nice to have won because it was from such a small publisher.
Yeah, and the same with Deborah Levy as well. Yeah. That's an Arts Council, one of the few things that still has got has had Arts Council funding. So that's quite an interesting publishing house. And then the final one was Narcopolis by Jeet Thiel, which I mean that was quite an interesting one as well. I think you quite liked that, didn't you?
I did. The visuals and the sense of place that you got from just reading even such a small bit, I really quite enjoyed. And that's one I do plan on reading.
Yeah, I mean, there were a couple on there. I mean, Communion Town really grabbed me when we were initially reading those samples.
Me less so. It just didn't click with me, that one.
Yeah, something. I'm not quite sure what it was about it, but I was quite keen to read that. But When we originally read those samples, we'd sort of said, well, when the shortlist is announced, we'll read all the shortlisted novels. We never quite got round to that. And that kind of brings us around to our main topic that we were going to talk about today, our reading ambitions. You know, what do you plan to read? What do you really want to read? Perhaps things you feel you should have read and you haven't. And maybe if we get time, why we plan to read things, but then don't quite actually get around to doing that.
Because we've both got the to read pile. These are actually books that we own that we've got, you know.
Oh yeah, stacking up.
They're stacking up. But then there are some that we haven't got, or there's, you know, something that we always want to aspire to read.
Yeah, definitely. And yeah. I think there are different pressures on different people. I think some people will have certain things that they feel like they should have read, even though they don't necessarily want to, as well as the ones that they would really like to read.
Well, now for me, I mean, we're both English literature graduates.
Yeah.
But for me, I think what's always been guilty is there are some quite large gaps in my sort of reading experience to do with things like the classics. I think you've read far more than I have.
I assume you don't mean ancient Greek and Roman literature there, Rob.
No, but well, there are certain things when you think of classics, or there's the canon, isn't there? This idea of these are the books that you have to hold up.
Yeah.
These are the great ones. So I've read very little Austin or George Eliot or things like that. I've only really read those when I've had to, when I've been told to by lecturers.
Yeah.
They're just never really something that's appealed to me, but I do feel that perhaps I should get around to reading those one day.
I mean, I was thinking about this. I have read all six Jane Austen novels, but then when it comes to the Brontes, I've really just read the kind of most famous ones, if you like. I've read Jane Eyre by Charlotte. I've read The Tenant of Wildfell Hall, and I've also read Wuthering Heights. I wasn't actually particularly keen on Wuthering Heights, although I like The Tenant of Wildfell Hall. But then I only read that because the BBC, maybe 15 years ago, did a very good adaptation of it, which then sort of inspired me to read the book. But then other than that, in that kind of period of history, I've read very little. You know, George Eliot, it was almost completely missing from my reading list there. I mean, it wasn't something that I got round to when I was younger, when I was reading Austen and the Brontes sort of as a sort of teenager. And then it wasn't on my course at university, so I just never quite got round to it. And yeah, no, I think I feel the same in that way, that there are certain things where I feel like I ought to have read them. And perhaps there's something a bit missing from my experience of literature, perhaps, from having not read those certain books. Certainly, I was thinking about the kind of modern classics, perhaps more like the sort of American modern classics. For the only Steinbeck that I've read is Of Mice and Men, which, yeah. I mean, I do think is fantastic. But again, I read that because it was something that I studied for GCSE English literature, similarly to a lot of people our age and probably still actually in Britain.
Well, it's certainly a lot easier to read all the great American classics because there aren't as many of them.
That's true. That's true.
American literature hasn't quite been around for quite as long. So for you, you feel like there's almost like a tick list of things that you need to have read, like that 100 greatest books list, perhaps?
Yeah, or? I mean, yeah, when we sort of first started doing that podcast, we were looking through that sort of 100 sort of favourite books or 100 best books, what, you know, whatever the term was. Yeah, there were certain ones on there where I thought, you know, perhaps I ought to have read this. You know, I think, you know, The Grapes of Wrath was on there, for example, you know, the Steinbeck. And then things like The Great Gatsby.
Yeah.
By F. Scott Fitzgerald. I've never read that. You know, I kind of know the general storyline, you know, but that's it. I haven't gone into any more detail with it than that. Yeah, lots of those sort of American sort of 1900s, sort of early 1900s stuff, which I just have never got round to at all. But also British stuff as well. I think things like sort of Virginia Woolf, I've read very little of that. So again, I guess it's that kind of early 1900s sort of time where I don't know, somehow or other, I've kind of read the stuff before that, and then I've sort of jumped and missed this whole section until it gets to kind of the more popular modern fiction that I just pick up in the bookshop.
So your reading ambition is to sort of branch out a bit, fill in some gaps perhaps, or?
Well, I think those are the things that I feel I should be doing.
Yeah.
I think on top of that, there's certain things that I'd really like to read. For example, I mean, this may sound like more hard work than what I was talking about before, but actually, I'd really like to read all of Shakespeare, which sounds like a bit of a massive undertaking. Yeah. But to kind of put it in context, I've read a lot of the sonnets already, for obviously for my degree, and also just generally because they're quite quick and easy. Again, a lot of the plays where I've studied them either at school or at university, I've already read quite a few. But there are some notable ones which, you know, I've never studied them, and I probably know the story. I've got a general idea about it, but I've never actually read it. Some of his longer poetry I've never read. And perhaps that's something that I should do, but it's also something that I would really like to. I absolutely love Shakespeare. I know some people really don't and really got put off Shakespeare by studying it in a very boring way when they were younger. I think hopefully times have moved on, so it's a bit more interesting to do it nowadays. But certainly I was never one of those people. I always really loved it. And, you know, it's something that I'd like to get back into, I think.
That sounds a bit close to sort of to my reading ambitions. But when you say you want to read all of Shakespeare, do you want to read it from start to finish so you can watch him grow as a writer? Or
that doesn't really bother me, to be honest.
You're not bothered in the order.
I think I know enough about him that I know when the plays were written. I know a lot about his life. I'm a bit of a Shakespeare nerd, to be honest. I don't know if anyone's ever seen Michael Wood's fantastic BBC series In Search of Shakespeare. That I just think that programme And he's also written a book that goes with it. If you haven't seen the program, then definitely read the book. I just think his life is fascinating. But so I don't really feel perhaps I need to read them in chronological order, because I already know how they fit in. But I know that when perhaps where you're reading a series of novels, it does, it's sort of part of the interest is to work through the series. I mean, certainly when I read novels, I would read them in order.
See, my reading ambitions is, yes, it is about filling in some of the gaps that perhaps I've got. But I do tend to sort of like, I guess binge is the word. I like to take an author and go, right, I want to read everything that they've written, and I want to read it in order, one after the other. So then I can watch that writer, you know, grow, develop, or characters develop in that sort of way. I mean, I've always wanted to do Ian Fleming. I want to read all the Bonds because I'm a bit of a Bond nerd. But things like The Guardian at the moment are doing a series where they're rereading all of Stephen King's work.
Right.
One after the other in order. It's James Smith or James Smythe. Apologies if I've mangled your surname there. But that's looking at how his characters and how his writing's developed. And you get some dud ones. But I like to sort of take an author as a whole and then just read them all in one go. So, for example, if I was to reread Shakespeare, which is something that I do need to do, I've got the complete works of Shakespeare, and I would start from the beginning and work my way through to the end. Because even if I think when you do that, even if you reread a play that you've already read, you're probably going to notice things in it when you read it as an entire body of work, I think.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I mean, what's on your list at the moment? I mean, you mentioned Fleming. Now, presumably, you've read most, if not all, of those.
Oh, I've read all the Flemings
Bond books before. So why would you go back and reread them now in order?
Part of it is probably nostalgia, but also I wouldn't stop at Fleming. I would carry on going.
Right. Which
is something I've never, you know, I would like to then read the Robert Markham, the Kingsley Amis one, then go and read the John Gardner, and then read the Raymond Benson and keep going. Partly because I think it's just for fun, but also just I like to read things. I'm a collector, I'm a completist. I like to, and it is a bit of a binge. Yeah. You can go, right, I have now done, and it's something to tick off. I've done that all in order. But things like Stephen King, what's fascinating is he's written, what The Guardian are doing is when they're rereading all his stuff, it's such a varied thing, and how everything is interconnected. You can see it as a whole picture.
Just in case anyone doesn't know, the other authors that Rob mentioned there carried on writing Bond novels after Fleming passed away.
The continuation novels, yes, basically.
But yeah, what you said about Stephen King there, as I understand it, I mean, you know more about him than I do, but from what I gather, there's sort of an overarching network of kind of ideas and things that kind of permeate his work. So correct me if I'm wrong, but there's his sort of real world horrors, if you like, or those kind of books, which are set in essentially our world, but with some kind of horrific or fantastical things going on. And then he's got another sequence of books, is referred to as the Dark Tower.
Yes, it's the Dark Tower. So that's more of a sort of a fantasy. Some people have described it as a Western meets Lord of the Rings, which is why I'm encouraging you to read it.
Yeah.
Everything feeds into this dark tower. It can be references, it can be characters, it can be places. So looking at that as a whole, you're going to get a much bigger picture. But then there are other things. I've always wanted to read in order all the Conan Doyle Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah, I would actually really like to do that. I think my experience of Sherlock Holmes is very bitty.
Yeah.
And I don't think, perhaps with Sherlock Holmes, it doesn't actually matter as much as it would with some other things. You know, and the same could be true of other people writing in that time whose stories were published in chunks in newspapers and so on, where obviously because the Sherlock Holmes writings can be read as individual short stories, I think it doesn't necessarily damage your experience to read them like that. But I mean, I first came across them because I think I had a Penguin kind of collection of sort of favourite Sherlock Holmes or whatever it was, where it was a collection from various different studies in sort of thing. But it was things like the Speckled Band, the Dancing Men, the Musgrave Ritual, which I think is probably one of my favourites, and a few other, the one about the racehorse, whose name I now forget, it's sort of something Blaze or something like Silver Blaze. Yeah. So it's the kind of a few of the favourite kind of well-known stories. And then really, really enjoyed that. And I, God knows how many times I reread that. And then read The Hound of the Baskervilles, which was then sort of published as its own just sort of novella sort of thing. The Hound of the Baskervilles, I just think is absolutely fantastic.
Oh, it is.
Absolutely love it. But I've never actually then gone and read, for example, you know, A Study in Scarlet from beginning to end, let alone all of the stories in order. But I don't know, I'm not sure I'm necessarily missing out, because I, you know, I enjoyed them so much just as individual stories. And I'm not really a short story reader. It's not at all typical of my usual reading habits. I normally read a full-on novel. You know, I don't tend to read collections of short stories, but I don't know. I think they're just so neat, well tied up, so interesting that I really enjoy just dipping in and out and just reading the individual stories.
Well, I think for me, it's also when I find an author that I like, I go, right, okay, I'm now going to search out and find everything that they've written, and you know.
Yeah.
And then, sometimes you have to wait till the next one. But also, I like to read them because from a technical point of view, even if they aren't books in a series, just I'm always like, I have to start at the beginning with the first one, and I sort of have to watch them develop ideas. An idea might not work in one book, and they might revisit it, or they might come back again. I think just reading them all together, one after the other, that's sort of the style. that's the sort of reader that I am, I think. Yeah. I don't like to dip in and out.
See, I think that's really interesting. When I read a series, if I manage to actually, I'm doing really badly with this at the moment. I've managed to sort of go into the middle of two different, I think I mentioned this last time, and with Anne Holt, I managed to read the last one in one of her series, and I've now managed to read the fourth one in another one of her series, which is not intentional. It just happened to be that was the one that I picked up and it seemed interesting. But if I manage it, I do like to read, obviously, from the beginning of the series to the end. I mean, even with something like Ian M. Banks, he's one of my sort of favourite writers, his culture novels, his Ian M. Banks books, then they don't necessarily follow on one to the next, but I think they're kind of roughly chronological in the development of the culture kind of thing, which is this, you know, his sci-fi reality. But I mean, you could read those in any order.
Okay,
you wouldn't have to read them in a certain order, but I have read them.
I wouldn't though. I'd have to start.
Well, I know. Yeah. That's what I mean. Yeah. Like, I mean, with those, I think, you know, it's not like it's you're following one character. I mean, the Wallander novels by Henning Mankell, you would need to read them in order. It wouldn't make sense if you didn't, because his character changes, his circumstances change, etc. He grows older, and so on. But I think the Ian M. Banks, I have read those in the order that they were written, but outside a kind of series, outside a sequence, it wouldn't necessarily bother me too much. Like, I really enjoy Isabel Allende. I really like her. And she's written various things. That, I mean, I really enjoyed her sort of young people series that she did, which I did read in order, because again, otherwise it wouldn't make sense. But with her other books, it's really been as I've discovered them.
I
came across The House of Spirits first of all, and then there's a kind of book connected to that called The Stories of Eva Luna, and so then I read that afterwards, and then I sort of happened to think, oh well, I quite liked Isabel Allende, so I'll just go and look at what else she's written. And I just sort of had a look, and it was whatever took my fancy. I read a few of the older ones, and then she brought out some more recently, like a sort of one called Zorro and so on, which, by the way, that's a really good, a really interesting reimagining of the Zorro story. But yeah, I mean, I've not read those in the right, chronological order.
I'd have to open up the front page and go, right, I'll have to read in this order. Now, the problem with that is if I hit a dud one, I probably wouldn't skip and go on to the next one. You know what I mean?
I would just go, oh, well, that wasn't so good, but let's see what else they've done. It wouldn't necessarily worry me in terms of the sequence, unless it was actually a series of books.
Although recently I did try and do Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
And I read the first one. And I really did enjoy it. And then I got to Clash of Kings and I thought, oh, I'm a bit sort of like Game of Thrones out right now. I can't go on to the next. That's the one time recently that I've kind of actually stopped and gone, I need a break now, which is the risk of this.
Do you think it's because it's outside your normal genre, though?
It certainly is, yes. I've read very little in that sort of fantasy sort of...
Yeah, kind of historical fantasy. I'd call it.
Yeah, that kind of was outside my comfort zone. I still enjoyed it. But there's an awful lot to sort of take in, I think, with those books.
They're very complex, actually, in terms of the kind of politics of it. I think when I initially came to it, I wasn't quite sure what to expect from Game of Thrones. And I think, to be honest, I thought it was going to be pretty trashy. But then sometimes I do like a trashy read, as we've discussed in previous episodes.
But you have to concentrate, is what I mean.
Oh, yeah, you do. That's what I mean. It wasn't anywhere near as trashy as what I thought it was going to be. I mean, it was a, sort of quite a romp in some places, but some bits, there's a lot of characters, a lot of different families, a lot of people to keep track of, and who's doing what to who, and who's betrayed which cousin and married someone else, and then someone's been murdered, and all of this sort of thing. There's an awful lot going on. And I don't know. I mean, I raced through them. I read them quickly.
I was getting ready to go, right, I'm going to do the lot, you know, because there was, at the time, the latest one was coming out. And I was like, right, I'm going to go for it. And then the second one, I was like, blimey, I can't. Yeah,
I think I don't know. I think perhaps in terms of genre, I probably read a wider range of different things, perhaps. And once I get into a world, I'm there, I'm in it, I'm fine, kind of thing. Once I get my bearings, if you know what I mean. Mm. And I'm quite happy to stay in that world for as long as I like. And I think with those, I really did literally just read all of Game of Thrones I could get my hands on.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, right, I finished one, right, off to the shop and get the next one.
Mm.
And I think at one point I actually bought, they were on 3 for 2, so I bought 3. Because I thought, well, I'll just keep reading them. And that's not normally what I do, actually. I do try and read series in order, but I won't actually read them all one after the save that one. My reading style was much more sort of like what you've been talking about, actually.
Yeah.
And, you know, normally I'm quite happy to go between, you know, different series or different writers, mix it up a bit of variety. But no, those, I just absolutely loved it. I found it so immersive. I was completely in this world. It was so detailed, so fully imagined. I loved it, and I haven't read anything like that for ages. I think the most similar thing to that is probably the Ian M. Banks Culture novels.
Right.
Where it's just, you are just in this other world completely, and I love a bit of escapism. It's great. Mm. But yeah, so I mean, I kind of changed my my reading style for that one.
So how do you decide what you're going to read next when you look at the books that are all around you? What do you decide to pick up next?
Well, I'm not a very disciplined reader. I never really have been. As I said, I've always been happy to sort of just read whatever takes my fancy. So it's been quite interesting with the kind of various different, I don't know, almost feeling like I have sort of reading obligations, if that makes sense. I mean, certainly for our website and for our podcast, we're sort of receiving books for us to consider and sort of post reviews of. So I kind of feel like I've got a bit of an obligation to sort of read one or other of those things and tell people what I think of it. But then on the other hand, if I just read by obligation, I get fed up of it and then I want to break. So it's, I actually find it really hard to decide what I am going to read next. I mean, a couple of episodes ago, we were doing our kind of what we have read, what we are reading, what we're reading next. And at the time, I was juggling two books, which was NW by Zadie Smith, which was something which I was really excited to have received and you know, looking forward to reading and posting my review. And then I'd also bought myself Fear Not, which was this fourth in the series, Norwegian crime thing by Anne Holt. But it turns out that, in fact, I'm still, well, I would say I'm reading both of them, but in fact I haven't read any more of the Zadie Smith since then, because, to be honest, I just haven't really been in the mood, and I really just wanted to kind of get on with a good story. Got into the Anne Holt, that which was a quite a thick book, but I'm now nearly at the end of that. I think I've got about 50 pages to go, and I'm quite interested to see how they actually managed to resolve it, because it's got very complicated. But then in addition to that, I was sort of sitting around and having a look through your sort of various piles of books and spotted a book called Vampirates.
That's one that I was given, and I'm never going to read that one.
No, and I know you're not. So I thought I'll pinch that and I'll have a quick look at that. So I'm now sort of 30 pages into that as well. Just in case anyone doesn't know, this is the first in a sort of, young adult book about, their series of books about a sort of alternative future where the world has been flooded. I assume this is to do with kind of global warming and sea levels rising and whatnot. And I assume there are going to be some vampire pirates arriving pretty soon, given the title and the fact that they've been singing a sea shanty about them. So I'm quite intrigued to see how that goes. But yeah, so having said that, I was going to read the book set in Venice about the vampire murderers or whatever. I haven't even picked that up yet, let alone anything else. Skullduggery Pleasant is still sitting there on the shelf, which was another thing that I picked up at the book crossing event we went to. So yeah, and I've got all these fantastic books there kind of looking at me. So I can see sort of Sweet Tooth by Ian McEwan and the new Sebastian Faulks and so on. Fantastic books. But I just haven't quite been in the right mood for them. I don't know what. I'm really looking forward to reading them, but just not quite yet. I'm afraid I'm that disorganized that it is just whatever takes my fancy. I mean, I don't know about, I mean, but I think you're a bit more organized in your reading habits than me.
Not necessarily, no. I tend to get sort of distracted or go down a path of a certain type of book that I start reading, and then it's a bit hard to backtrack and venture off down another one. I'm reading a Frederick Forsyth Day of the Jackal at the moment, and then next thing I know, I've ended up buying the next one of his, you know, things like that.
Well, I guess with your kind of compulsive, you know, author.
Yeah.
Tracking or whatever you want to call it, once you set off down that path, you just end up going until you've run out.
And then it gets a case of, well, what do I do? Or I could then get distracted by something else. I flit around all over the place. I mean, I said I was going to read the Michael Crichton Micro. Well,
yeah,
possibly not now, because I'm in a different...
You've diverged off from that.
Plus, you're right. I think it's about the mood that you're in. At the moment, I'm sort of in a sort of world war or political thriller mood, and Michael Crichton is more science fiction.
Yeah,
possibly.
Sort of technological, sci-fi.
Techno-thriller, yeah. But yeah, I flit around all the time. You know, I get very easily distracted, but then I can then become quite obsessive and determined to read this author all in one go, sort of thing. So yeah, it's really hard deciding, you know, what to read next, because, you know, I very rarely give up on books, actually.
No, me neither. I mean, this kind of Zadie Smith is turning into a bit of an albatross, to be honest. I find it a bit ridiculous that I didn't enjoy it more and just get really gripped by it. When I read On Beauty, that was it. I was there for a week just with my head in that book and just didn't want to emerge. And I don't know. I mean, this is supposedly a better book, in, you know, sort of better in inverted commas, but I'm not sure in terms of a plot line. I don't know. It's just I won't give up on it. I will finish reading it and I will review it.
It could be a slow burner. It could be take a while to get going.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe once I've finished my Anne Holt, maybe it'll seem more attractive, or unless I get distracted by more vampire pirates again. I don't know. I mean, we're members of a book group as well, which we wanted to mention, because our sort of book group is restarting again. We're reading The Snow Child by Eowyn Ivey, just in case anyone wants to read that and in preparation for our discussion in a few weeks' time. But then that's another sort of, in a way, an obligation, but in another way, I think luckily we've managed to choose books which haven't been too much, sort of too onerous in general.
Well, that's one of the perks of choosing the books.
Yes, really. Yeah. Quite. I mean, not so much for me, but yeah, for you, you've had quite a lot of sort of control in that area.
So yeah, I mean, I'm aware that yes, I have got this book to read, but I'm notoriously sort of not lazy, but I leave it to the last minute often to read these books, which I shouldn't do, because I often end up rushing them.
But you listen to audiobooks though, don't you, for that?
I do.
Quite often.
Yes, because I have a sort of an hour-long walk to work. I still listen to podcasts, but I sort of realised that this is an hour or 2 hours a day that I can actually use to start reading.
Yeah.
So I probably might get that on audio as well. And I don't really know. You've already read it, haven't you?
I have, actually. Yeah. This was something that I read over the summer. It wasn't quite the right season, I think, to preach. Well, I won't say too much about it, but I mean, I really enjoyed reading it. I don't know. I mean, I haven't ever really got into audiobooks, so I don't know. I mean, I've got my sort of commute to work, and I do tend to listen to podcasts. At the moment, I'm listening to, well, I suppose we could call them a rival, kind of book banter podcast, as they describe it. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's always an option, and getting to audio books as well. But then, would I effectively be reading four books at a time?
Possibly. Yeah.
I think maybe you can be reading two. You can be too ambitious. Mm. And end up kind of getting a bit overloaded.
The problem I have with audiobooks is you have to concentrate more than, say, with a podcast. And I've once completely blanked you almost because I'm concentrating. I'm surprised I haven't got run over yet. But I enjoy it. I'm listening to the Steve Jobs biography at the moment.
Yeah.
But that's not something where I have to potentially keep track of the story, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, because you can keep going with the general idea. You don't necessarily have to listen to every... I suppose it's not, you're not thinking about the stylistic choices of the writer in the same way that you are when you read, say, literary fiction or something.
I'm absolutely enjoying it, and it's, I'm absolutely enthralled by it, but that's in a different way.
Yeah, I mean, that's his life, what he was getting up to, rather than, sort of stylistically or the wonderful description or whatever it is.
But yes, I am aware that very soon I'm going to have to stop what I'm doing and read The Snow Child. So hopefully I'll enjoy it as much as you did.
I mean, would you go to a book group without having finished it?
No, I think I'd feel quite guilty. I think the one time I haven't finished, I just didn't go. I did stop on The Tiger's Wife, and apparently I stopped at the wrong time, didn't I? So that was a mistake that I made. Mm. I probably won't do that again. But I think that when you're reading as a book group, you also possibly read the book differently. You're thinking of things the whole time, what you're going to talk about, what you're going to discuss. I might look at it a bit differently than perhaps if it was just me going, yeah, that's all right.
I think you've got a point there. I mean, as you said, I mean, I'm similar. I don't tend to kind of give up on a book. You know, I don't. It can get into almost like a war of attrition. Like, I will finish you, damn it. I think, I've said before, the only book that I've given up on really was Emma by Jane Austen.
But then Mark Billiam or Martin Weitz, whichever one of them, said that reading should be fun.
Yeah.
If you're not enjoying it, put it down. You know, we're only on this earth for so much time. You shouldn't waste your time reading a bad book you don't like.
No, and that's fair enough. And, you know, I think I perhaps need to sort of value my time a bit more, rather than setting myself so many ambitious goals of what to read. Perhaps I need to just say, actually, well, no, maybe this isn't going to work. You know, maybe when I finish Fear Not and come back to NW, if I'm not enjoying it in another 50 pages, perhaps I'll have to do sort of I didn't actually finish this and this is why type review instead. I don't know. I have to see how it goes.
Just bear in mind, I gave up on The Tiger's Wife. At the moment, it was supposed to be got very good, which is one of the regrets that I had. You never know.
So you've heard all about the way that we read, our kind of reading ambitions and our kind of reading goals that we set ourselves. On that note, just another reminder, we did say that we are going to be reading The Snow Child by Eowyn Ivey. I'll be kind of rereading, and Rob will be reading for the first time for our book group, Book Plate Books, who are also on Twitter, at Book Plate Books. And if you'd like to join in with that, then, and you can find a copy, then please sort of read along, and we'll be discussing that in a few weeks' time. If you want to tell us about your reading ambitions and your goals, if you think any of what we've said is just spot on or completely ridiculous, please do get in touch. You can do that in a variety of different ways. Go to our website, which is adventureswithwords.com. You can like our page on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter and tweet us there at Word Adventures. And you can also find us on Goodreads as well. If you search for Adventures with Words, and then you'll find our book group.
I've been Rob.
I've been Kate.
And thanks for listening.
Adventures with Words is brought to you by Audible. Try Audible free for 30 days and download any audiobook for free. For your free trial, go to www.adventureswithwords.com/audible.